The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. It settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Yes. Is there an echo in here? Where you going, buddy? Oh, thank you. Good morning, everybody. This is Jefferson State of Mind. I'm here with my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well.
Better than I deserve, that's for sure.
I think that's all of us, right?
Yes, sir.
I remember Clint Eastwood, you know, we all got it coming.
Yes, we do. Just depends on how you're going to get it.
That's it. How you doing, Liam?
I'm just hanging out.
Are you, buddy?
I am.
Yeah. You got your coffee?
Not yet.
No.
That's the problem.
I'm working on that. I have someone who's going to bring me some. So.
There you go,
buddy. There you go.
Anyway, we are here broadcasting live on Jefferson State of Mind on KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We are streaming live, and we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
On KCNR1460.com. KCNR1460.com. We are in downtown Reading, and we have got a show for you today. The phone number here is 605-4567-530, 605-4567, and we are going to talk all things Kathy Darling. How in the heck does someone like that stay in office? It's unbelievable. And I'm sitting next to my partner here, and I notice he has got the letter, the famous letter now that has been written by Kathy Darling Elling, complaining about her constituents. There just rings so much of socialism in that, and frankly, communism. And frankly, let's just go ahead and change the whole deal here because the people are voicing their opinion. Mm-hmm. So, Wynn, I see you've got a ton of notes there. Why don't you go ahead and start there, buddy?
Well, I think what we should do first is read the letter that she wrote in its entirety first. That way people can hear it, and then we'll break it down. That way we're not all over the map before they can figure it out. Okay, and the way it reads is, she's got it addressed, Protecting Our Democracy, Frontline Workers, Kathy Darling Allen, County Clerk, Registrar of Voters, Shasta County, California, June 14th, 2022. To Chairman Durbin, Ranking Member Grassley, and members of the Committee of the Judiciary. Thank you for taking the time to read this testimony and for discussing the issue. My name is Kathy Darling Allen. I am the elected county clerk and registrar of voters in Shasta County, California. I have had the honor of serving my community since 2004 for close to 18 years. Shasta County is located in far northern California, 2 hours north of Sacramento, at the top of the Central Valley. I serve just over 112,000 voters. I am using this opportunity to address the committee to discuss our experience in Shasta County with distrust of government and the election process specifically, the dramatic increase in observers and effects of that, and the impact of increasing numbers of Public Records Act requests. As background, Shasta County has recently experienced the effects of a large amount of out-of-state political contributions from a single donor. More than $900,000 has been contributed to promote the campaigns of a group who labels themselves anti-establishment. Candidates over the past 2 years. Sorry about that. This group found a home in the diminishing Tea Party group, which was at one time very popular in this majority conservative area, county. This funding helped elect one county supervisor who was facilitated or has facilitated and apparently guided two political action committees. A 10-part docuseries, The Recall of a Lifetime Resident and Retired Police Chief County Supervisor, and sponsored campaigns for another six elected positions in the county. One of the founding members of the docuseries was present at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. Until this election, I was feeling very sympathetic for my colleagues in other states who have experienced terrible things. I truly didn't think we'd see anything like that in California, not being a battleground state. I hope I am still correct about that. I and my staff have experienced an inordinate amount of bullying and interference with no direct threats yet. Election night, June 7th, 2022. Myself and staff experienced an inordinate amount of bullying behavior and interference by a group of citizens who stated that they wanted to protect against insider election fraud from myself and my staff. This group was unsatisfied by the fact that we were and are complying with state law and regulations as they apply to ballot custody and security. Their presence was noted and observed by local law enforcement. Additionally, we became aware on election night at about 9:30 p.m. that an unknown person had placed a game or trail camera in the alley behind the office to presumably surveil the back entrance to the election department. The camera was gone by 12:35 a.m. on Wednesday morning, according to local reporting. Election observation in Shasta County has become weaponized. Since November 20th, we spend an increasing amount of time educating, orientating, answering questions, and escorting observers within our office. While California has a legally required official observer program for every county's election department, the past few years, the number of aggressiveness and observers has grown. This was never as true as it has been in this election, June 7, 2022 primary, when so much money and resources has been spent on ousting four incumbent county officials and backing candidates in two soon-to-be vacant supervisor seats. During the local recall election of a county supervisor on February 1, 2022, recall supporters claim that they had 70 observers working that election. We had 12 polling places open, 488 votes cast in precincts. That works out to be about one observer for every seven voters in precincts on election day. We had four poll workers in most precincts. In this week's election, June 7th, 2022, we had more poll workers cancel or just plain not appear for work than we ever have had in my career. While we have more analysis to do, it could very well be the case that their experiences both in working the February 1st election and the training class, which observers also attend, and in some cases were not well behaved, discouraged them from appearing to work as promised. This is extremely concerning, and going forward, we will have to carefully consider the cost-benefit to allowing observers to attend these trainings. Since the February 1st, 2022 local recall election, we have been very concerned about security and how to ensure the safety of our staff. We have made a variety of updates to our facility, secured an information technology resource with locking metal gates, moved many file cabinets into a wall of privacy for our executive offices, which previously faced the observation area for tally. We now track every person who enters our facility. We held an observer debrief after the February election, developed a specific training for observers, scheduled observer tours prior to June's election, and created a schedule of events which is published weekly on our website. This is all new and unfunded, and this is all a new and unfunded workload. In order to accommodate the larger and more intrusive observers, we now limit work on the election to the hours of 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., which allows staff to check email and prepare for their day prior to beginning ballot processing. It also allows the management team time to check in with staff and take care of administrative tasks. Not surprisingly, it also reduces the number of hours we can spend daily processing ballots and completing canvas tasks. So elections we would have previously been able to canvass in 2 weeks are now taking a minimum of 3, with costs borne by the taxpayers, as longer hours for staff means more expensive election. In California, election officials have 30 days to canvass the election, which includes performing post-election audits and certifying the results to local governing boards and the Secretary of State's office. We have begun the process of installing cameras in our public areas. Supply chain issues have delayed some of the hardware availability. We hope to have the system up and functioning completely before the November 2022 election. Additionally, we plan to improve staff safety by enclosing the lobby area and break areas, projects that will approach $70,000. Hopefully, we'll be able to complete that before November 2022's election. Public Record Acts, or Freedom of Information Act requests, have increased exponentially over the past 2 years. In 2017 through 2020, we received at most 4 Public Request Acts per year. In 2021, we responded to 21 requests. The count is currently at 33 for 2022. As of June, only halfway through the year. Many of the PRAs we are responding to are a result of the November 2020 election and have to do with records of our election tally. We are a Dominion customer. This number and the complexity of the required responses is a great drain on resources, which includes staff, time from the election department, and the county attorney's office. We have requested an additional staff person in our requested budget for the 2022-2023 fiscal year to assist with coordinating our observation program, responding to public records and records requests, and coordinating our outreach to voters, both in written materials and in digital formats. The expected cost for this additional full-time equivalent is $120,000, including benefits. This will be paid for by county general funds and represents funds that would otherwise be spent by the county on mental health care locally for deputies in our sheriff's department. The combined budget for the county clerk and elections divisions is $3.8 million. The county requested budget for fiscal year 2022-2023 in total is $618,665,444. That is, clerk and elections is 0.6% overall the county budget. While the county is a variety of responsibilities and services to provide to the citizens of our community, I wonder if our citizens would agree that elections are only 0.6% important. I completed and submitted this testimony on the weekend after Election Day here in California. The Friday after Election Day is the first time ever in my career I asked our local police to spend some time at our office at the end of the day to ensure my staff got to their cars safely. We are being accused of unethical behavior with no basis in fact, under the watchful eye of many observers. And before the final results of the election are known, the level of concern we are feeling based on the climate in our community is unprecedented in my experience and unwelcome. But we are resolute, and will continue to count every vote cast by the voters in our jurisdiction. I commend the committee for having the conversation, and am grateful to be able to go to the record on the record. I'm grateful to go on the record about our experiences in Shasta County. To be clear, as election officials, we have always been the referee between sometimes aggressive opponents, but attacking the process is now part of the losing an election. It has become a campaign tactic, but it is a campaign tactic that can and is eroding our democracy by eroding confidence in it. Thank you very much for your time and consideration. That's the end of the letter that she wrote, and I apologize for my stumbling through it.
No, you did great. It looks like we have, Richard, just stay with us for a moment, buddy. I know you're on there, but what we're going to do here is we're going to start commenting on it, and I know Wynn has a couple of points right off the get-go. Rich, we'll go ahead and bring you on anyway. Richard, how you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, so anyway, as you heard, we just read the letter. There are so many things in it. Wynn does have some points he wants to bring up, and maybe the three of us can comment on that. Go ahead, Wynn.
Oh, well, I'm just going to go down the whole thing.
Go for it.
The way it started out. Protecting our democracy's frontline workers. We're a republic.
Yeah, and the frontline workers serve the public. Yeah. There are so many things wrong with this whole thing.
And that was just in the header. The header of the address, who she addressed it to. That was in the header, the first words. Protecting our democracy's frontline workers. Well, it's actually, we're a republic.
Well, again, you know, a lot of the complaints, as you go through the whole thing, a lot of the complaints that strike you are complaints about that she has too many California Public Record Act requests. What is that supposed to mean? And then she goes on, one thing that I thought was telling, and then I'll just give it over to you there, Rich, for a minute, because I know you had some things that you wanted to discuss, but it kind of bothers me where she talks about, that since they have all these public record request, it's going to cost an additional $120,000 in benefits. And this will be paid for the county, but it's going to take away funds that would be for mental health and the deputies, and that's what she's saying. Then on the very next paragraph, she's trying to say that they don't have any money, that the other departments get all the money. Okay, so what is she trying to say here? I mean, to say the combined budget of the county clerk of elections divisions is $3.8 million. The county requested budget for fiscal year 2022-2023 is $618,665,444. That is, clerk and elections get 0.6% overall. Well, the paragraph before, she's complaining the fact that they have to spend this money, and it could go to the sheriff's department, and then she turns around the next paragraph and complains that she's not getting any money. While the county has a variety of responsibilities and services to provide the citizens of our community, I wonder if our citizens would agree that elections are only 0.6% important. Well, according to her, an extra $120,000 is more money than they deserve. It should go somewhere else. I mean, the whole thing is an oxymoron. So, Rich, what say you?
Oh, my gosh. Where do I start? Hey, so first of all, thank you.
You need to turn your volume up, buddy, just a little, please.
Is that any better?
Not marginally. No. Speak into the speaker. It sounds like you're too far away from your speaker component of your phone.
Okay, this is as good as it's going to get right now.
All right.
Okay. So thanks to the Patriot who sent me this letter. A Patriot who was involved in the recent recall and who's going to remain anonymous, so I want to say thank you to that. You know, when you read this letter, you can almost take the header off and replace it with the LA Times headlines, because this is pretty much the same stuff that all the hit pieces against the We Patriots, it reads the same. It reads the same as the LA Times hit pieces. So, yeah, I mean, funny there, right? And by the way, this $120,000 you need to spend, they've already hired a community education specialist, and likely that's the person that's going to be working these records acts. And, you're welcome, Kathy, for the records acts, by the way. I just want transparency. That's all I want. And she's fighting it every step of the way. You know, right in here it says, you know, they're concerned about a game camera in a public alleyway. You know, why are they not criticizing the government cameras that are in that very same alleyway? It's okay for the government to surveil you, but it's not okay for the private citizen to surveil you in a public alleyway. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's okay for the government to surveil you. Oh, and by the way, when I asked for that, those recordings on the government cameras, no, you don't get them, Richard. I mean, and now she's got cameras all inside her offices now. Okay? I'm going to record check those. Of course, she will deny them. Right? Of course you will. Because we don't get to see what's happening on a government camera now, do we, folks?
Well, that's when the BOS should step in, and they should say they want to see the copies of the recordings. I mean, well, after all, they're the overseers. They're the ones with the money. They're the ones that control the purse strings of what happens in that office, in that department. So she spent money on that stuff. She's spending money on it. So guess what? They should have the absolute authority to do that because they are executive and legislative body of our county.
Over her.
Yes, depending on what the board looks like in January, my opinion, we're going to have a 2-2 split with one swing vote. That's going to be my prediction. But, the records belong to the people. They do not belong to Kathy Allen. They do not belong to Ruben Cruz, the county attorney. Absolutely not. So, absolutely, the Board of Supervisors can demand and order that these public records be released. Absolutely.
Well, you know, she also sent out three flyers, and a lot of people thought it was two, but because two of them look the same, but the writing on them is completely different. One talks about, you know, how they print the ballots, talks about, you vote and return your ballot, verify signature, and your voice counts. The next one talks about we follow Rule 2, we verify your signature, we count your vote. And we count number of randomly selected ballots by hand to secure the election equipment is accurate. And then when you flip these two over, they have different information on the other side. We had one that was addressed to my wife on these flyers, which is different than the one that was addressed to me, although they both are purple on the front and white on the back. The other thing is there was another one that was sent out with Kathy Darling Allen's picture on it. And a little blurb about her.
It was her bio.
Her bio. It's like, are you kidding me? Now, I know that people are saying, well, these things are, what, about 88 cents a piece? And they're saying, well, it could have been, you know, 30,000 of each one of these, too. No, there was three that were sent out, three different ones, which means they all had to be printed differently because the script was different. And, of course, the one with Kathy Darling Allen's picture on it is a completely different one. Why would you even send those out? Why would you spend that money? Well, I was told it really wasn't taxpayer money. But as I look on the bottom of this, for more details, scan code or visit https://tinyurl.com/shasta-vbm-process.
Do you know what? If that's the case, if there are three different mailings that went out and there's 112,000 registered voters, then and you're looking at approximately 80 cents a piece, you're looking at $268,800. So you're almost at $269,000 just for these little tidbits of information here where she's, and then in the same letter she's asking for $112,000 to have a staff member to help do the work.
Well, she's not asking for it. She's saying that she's complaining about the $112,000 because she's saying that we're taking it away from police and we're taking it away from Health and Human Services. Then the very next paragraph, she complains about the fact that they don't get enough money. So, I mean...
Well, isn't it odd that she uses, on these flyers, which maybe were paid by private funds, but she's using her official title, county seal.
Well, point.
She's using the county seal on these privately funded flyers. I don't have the time to research it, but I think there's some nefariousness going on there. I believe there's some kind of conflict in those flyers because she's talking as a county official using the county seal with a privately funded flyer. I think there's some conflict there. I don't know exactly which. But it just smells funny.
Yes, it does.
Well, you know, and the other thing about, you know, that the people are becoming weaponized. What does a camera, you know, it's just amazing to me because most of the people that observe and most of the people that go down there are women. Most guys are working. Not saying that women don't work, but there are, you know, there mostly it has been, I would say, probably 75% women that do the observing. And
Yeah,
it is, and the point is that you know they're talking about bullying behavior, you know, inferences to the groups that they want to protect against insider election fraud. Well, so you don't have the right to question anything. This whole letter just smells of communism. It smells of socialism, and it smells of a Democrat. And Kathy Darling Allen is a registered Democrat, and there is no such thing as an office that is nonpartisan. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, when people say that, they're just saying it out of ignorance, or they're just trying to mull it over and, you know, rough out the edges so people will vote however they want them to vote.
It's BS because,
yes,
you know, every single thing she's saying here, accusing people, in a 10-part docuseries, accusing a supervisor of being the one who engaged that and set that up, which isn't true. It's just not true.
And she's calling out, you know, they're anti-establishment. Okay, who isn't? I mean, hell, in the 60s, who was anti-establishment? 90% of America. And those were the baby boomers at that point, and those are the baby boomers now that are, at that point, they were anti-establishment.
And then it says one of the founding members of the docuseries was present at the Capitol on January 6th. She's careful not to name names, but the main thing is, Richard, and you brought up a great point, that is that the people, she is using her bully pulpit as an elected official. She's using that to sway and to deprive people or limit people to their constitutionally protected right. And that is Title 18, 242 all over it. And as you know, and I think you've stated quite a few times, the thing is that she is literally, literally breaking the law. These three flyers, again, like Wynn said, I don't care who funded it. The point is that if it was privately funded, why? Why would you even send those out? Why would you do that? And again, is it totally privately funded? And if it's privately funded, what's she complaining about if these different political action committees are privately funded? And, oh, by the way, she received some money from a PAC.
Yeah.
Oh, gee whiz. I mean, she needs to go. And we haven't even started on Shasta Lake City yet, the mistake she made up there. And she wants Shasta Lake City to pay for a mistake she made.
Yeah, the $80,000 that she made. The mistake she made.
And there's a talk show host here who hosts a program here who even said, she should take that out of her pocket. Why should we pay for it?
Well, after all, she did get a $49,000 increase in salary.
Despite her retirement?
Under the former board, yes, which included Modi and Mary and Joe and Les all voting for it. They all voted for it.
Well, if you have a question or comment, it's 605-4567, 530-605-4567. Rich, if you want to, my friend, hang on. We'll come back to you right after the break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We would love to have you join us for the 15th annual Christmas for the Troops. Along with KIXC-TV, we invite you to join us Friday, December 9th for food, fellowship, and package assembly at the Anderson VFW post at 3210 West Center Street starting at 6 p.m. A suggested donation at the door provides snack foods, dinner, and helps offset the cost of shipping. You can help in advance as well. We'll be accepting donations of food, funding, and travel-sized personal care items that you can drop off at the KIXC Studios on North Market Street in Reading. For more information, call Michelle at 530-859-3176. 530-859-3176. Remember, the date is now Friday, December 9th at 6 p.m. VFW Hall in Anderson. Veterans sacrifice themselves for us. Let us show them our gratitude and thanks for your support.
Heavy metal. So we are back, and we have Mark Kent on the line. Mark, what you got?
Good morning, you guys. Listen, I've been listening, and I'll tell you what, as soon as you started talking money and Kathy Darling, my blood just started boiling. This is coming from the person who just got a $42,000 a year raise, who's spiking her salary, getting ready to retire, you know. And I mean, this is so typical of these tyrannical elitists. It's just unbelievable. You know, point the finger at everybody else, but they can't look in the frickin' mirror for nothing. Anyway, that's my comment, and I'll take the rest off the air. I'm on my way to the studio.
Hey, Mark, one quick thing before you go, buddy. I gave your sister a hard copy of this letter, so she has a hard copy of it.
He's got it. Yep, good.
Yeah, awesome. No, I got it on my computer. Yeah,
all right, brother.
All right, I'll see you guys in a bit.
See you in a bit.
Well, it's kind of funny because what Mark just mentioned about the boost in her salary, she has to stay in office in her position collecting her, you know, new paycheck until about June, I believe it is. So she will announce her retirement probably May or maybe June. But for her to get that retirement, she has to stay there until June.
Well, she gets medical, too.
Oh, she'll get everything. She'll get the whole farm. So she's got to endure whatever is thrown at her until then, and then she just throw her hands up, and then she can make a special request to the board about who should succeed her. Well, then the board will take that under advisement, but the board's going to do what the board's going to do.
Rich?
Yeah, I'm on earpiece now. Hopefully this is better.
Okay. Well, anyway, Wynn's going to kind of go through some stuff he's got.
Well, let's hear what he has to say.
Well, he can probably comment on what you're going to go through. That's what I'm thinking, or no?
Oh, I don't care. Whatever he wants to do.
I'm just thinking that because I know you've got some really good stuff that you want to hit, and I think you should, and Rich can comment on that. Do you have anything? Are you okay with that, Rich?
Let me go real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
Again, I have this whole City of Reading permit issue to discuss, which I can probably do in less than 2 minutes. We can do that later. So Kathy calls law enforcement in this letter. She's we're observed by law enforcement, right? Nowhere can she say, oh, by the way, anybody was cited, trespassed, removed, arrested, nothing. And why can she not claim that? Because we were all law-abiding, peaceful observers and protesting, exercising freedom of assembly.
Right.
Yes.
And Wynn was going to bring that point up. I'm glad you did.
Well, and that's where it goes to here. It says, in the letter she writes, I and my staff have experienced an inordinate amount of bullying and interference, but no direct threats yet. Really?
Oh,
yet.
My gosh.
She's banking on it as of, you know, June 14th. She's banking on having direct threats. She's banking on, you know, some bad stuff happening. She's planting the seed there with the people that she sent this to, and it is the chairman, U.S. Senator Durbin, U.S. Senator Grassley, and members of the Committee of the Judiciary of the U.S. Senate. That's who she sent this letter to. So that's what she, this is, that is the line that she, that's one of the lines that she wrote in this letter. I and my staff have experienced an inordinate amount of bullying and interference, but no direct threats yet.
And where's the proof?
Here's my question. What was Kathy hoping to obtain by writing the Federal Senate Judiciary Committee? Maybe she wants the FBI to knock on people's doors. I don't know. What was she trying to get? What do you think?
Well, they don't have jurisdiction. They don't have jurisdiction over the county.
Well, the federal election, state election, local election, they're all on the same ballot. So
But over all the other stuff that she's talking about is all they don't have jurisdiction over that.
I think what Rich is talking about is that they can put that into a stretch. Is what Rich is talking about.
Yeah.
He's right because there's federal offices on that ballot. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, no, that's exactly correct.
Right.
Remember, they're going to do what they can to try to quell us from fighting for our rights. And that this is nothing but Kathy Allen using her office in a very unethical manner, in my opinion, and Terry, she's violating 18 U.S. code.
Yes, she
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely, yes.
And now, what else you got there, brother, as far as when? What do you got there for us? You got some other things.
Well, she cites that on election night, June 7th, 2022, that myself and staff experienced an inordinate amount of bullying behavior and interference by a group of citizens who stated that they wanted to protect against insider election fraud from myself and my staff. Okay, so being observers doesn't mean that you're telling people verbatim that they are being fraudulent. You're just there to witness what's going on. Now, if she has something to hide, mm-hmm. that's why she's feeling this way.
Mm-hmm.
If she didn't have anything to hide, open the doors, let the people in, let them observe, educate them, show them what's going on, and explain things as things occur. She didn't seem to want to go that route. She wanted to go the other route where she's got to hide things because she's letting people know it at this Senate level that, you know, hey, guys, we're having trouble here in River City in one of the last strongholds of California in the Red County. You need to give me some help. And that's in my mind, that's what she's using this letter as.
What else you got, buddy?
Let's see. Election observation in Shasta County has been weaponized.
Oh.
Okay, so who's carrying guns into the elections office and standing there with their ARs and everything else or their long knives or whatever, or the bow and arrow? How is it being weaponized?
Well, a few of those moms brought their 5-year-olds, and I think that you got to watch those 5-year-olds.
No, you
never know
do.
What they're going to bring in.
That's right.
They've got these cookies. You never know what they can do with those.
Right. And then while California has a legally required official observer program for every county's election department, the past few years, the number and aggressiveness of observers has grown. Well, of course the number has grown. People are waking up. People are figuring out what the heck's going on. They're keeping an eye on our votes. We all take that very seriously. And apparently she doesn't take it as seriously as we do. I mean, she's making money off of it by, you know, getting a big fat paycheck. But then she's also probably doing some other hinky things that we don't know what they are behind the scenes. This is just what we know, what she put to paper. What the heck did she do that we don't know?
Do you remember a month and a half ago, there was 300 or 400 errant ballots that were sent to one of the District 1 precincts?
Yes.
And this was in the news where Kathy Allen's like, oh, yeah, those were sent out in error. Just dispose of them or throw them away or return them or just return them or whatever. Burn them, whatever. I mean, these ballots should be worth their weight in gold, if not more, of the sanctity and the importance of these ballots. And Kathy Allen throws them around like they're gum wrappers.
That's right. Well, and then, too, in here it says, this was, she's talking about the aggressiveness and observers has grown. This was never as true as it has been in this election, the June 7th, 2022 primary, when so much money and resources has been spent on ousting 4 incumbent county officials and backing candidates in 2 soon-to-be vacant supervisor seats. So she's planting the seeds there with, you know, the recipient of this letter. And just letting us know that what she's really thinking, she's scared. And that's why she put all this stuff together. That's why she put this down on paper. And again, I go back to what has she done that we don't know about. This is just stuff that she's put to paper.
Well, we know she tried to violate a couple of people. I think I'm talking to one now. A couple of people that wanted to be either poll workers or observers by not allowing them, which she finally did, but not allowing them at first to do those things because of their political position. Oh, I guess this is a nonpartisan office, isn't it?
No.
And so, but because it specifically states in the election code, you cannot stop anybody, no matter what their particular political situation is, as far as what they believe, you can't do that. And when she was reminded of that, and reminded that that could be a felony, Title 18, 242, that's obstructing someone's or trying to stop someone from exercising their constitutionally protected rights by using the color of law, your authority, I would say that this letter almost falls into that. She's accusing people of bullying. Most of these people that were observing there, probably 75% are women. A lot of them have their children with them. She talks about weaponizing. That woman needs to be removed. She needs to totally be removed now.
Well, and here's a paragraph. Here's a paragraph in this letter. It says, in this week's election, June 7, 2022, we had more poll workers cancel or just plain not appear for work than we have ever had in my career. While we have more analysis to do, it could very well be the case that their experiences both in working the February 1st election and in training class, which observers also attend and in some cases were not well behaved, discouraged them from appearing to work as promised. This is extremely concerning. Going forward, we will have to carefully consider the cost-benefit to allowing observers attend these trainings.
Allowing a constitutionally protected right. Allowing.
Okay.
I mean,
can you say that we've got a couple of those within power in our
unbelievable.
County? And they're elected officials. They're elected officials that are doing that.
Right. Now, remember, she was holding observer training and poll worker training. And I'm going to give her the very few kudos that I ever will. So, you know, hit the record button, right, because I'm going to give her a prop here. Good for her for holding the observer training. She's not required to do that. She is required to do poll worker training, however. But if she removes the observer training and only holds poll worker training, freedom of assembly, we get to see what they're doing. We get to observe the poll worker training because everything is taxpayer-funded. So, she's comparing apples and oranges there.
Yes.
And she's done other things this very cycle. She put red tape down inside the elections office.
Right.
You know, the observer go and no-go zones. She disallowed the observers from being in the warehouse now, violating state law because the observers, per law, are to be close enough to the election return envelopes to observe the signatures thereon. Kathy Allen has refused that this time and put cameras in, and the observers are now upstairs looking at video screens of the warehouse while they're processing these envelopes. And so she's in direct violation of state law on that matter.
Yes, she is. And she also was in direct violation when she tried to get all the observers to sign a form. And this form would be that they were complying with different issues that they had to be 6 feet away from everything. This was after COVID, by the way. We didn't have the COVID restrictions at that time. I know that a good friend had brought this to point. I think it's election code 15011, I believe. It's somewhere in there. He told it to me a couple of days ago, and if I don't have the number right, it's close. Point being is that, we look at all these different things she's done. We haven't even brought up the Shasta Lake City situation of $85,000 yet.
Right.
Here she makes a mistake, and then she goes to Shasta Lake City and says, well, you guys are going to have to share the cost in that. What?
No.
What?
No, absolutely not. It should come out of her budget. Directly out
of her
budget.
Come out of her paycheck.
Yeah. And if that's what has to happen, she cuts her own pay to make it work. Sorry, that's not happening.
I can't believe there's three flyers that she sends out, and then she gets private money to do it, and then she complains about private money to back elections. I mean, unbelievable.
But if she got private money to do it, then why is she putting all that?
Why is she putting
the county information?
Well, plus
on
she received a lot of money from a PAC.
Yeah.
Who do you think was paying for her election? You know, she, and not only that, but she didn't even recuse herself. She's running for something. Well, it's my job. Well, it's your job to oversee that you win, you know?
Kind of like what went on in Arizona.
Kind of like what went on. Didn't she go back there twice? Why did she go back to Arizona twice?
Yeah.
Why did Kathy Darling Allen go back to Arizona twice?
To Maricopa to see how they're cheating, yeah.
Anybody know?
No, we don't know.
At the county's expense. At our expense.
Yeah.
We're paying
Absolutely.
For it.
Absolutely.
So why did we send her to Arizona?
Well, exactly. What did we send her, or did she volunteer, or did Arizona request her, right? We don't know the answers to those questions.
But it's still taxpayer money.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
yeah,
that would be another records request act that you constitutionally in the state of California have a right to do. You certainly don't want to exercise your rights, do you?
And it's taxpayer money no matter how we look at it, because you know she did not take a vacation day to go down there.
Her cell phone was
taxpayer
money.
I because have the documents to show that she got reimbursed for her expenses to Arizona by taxpayer money. I have the document.
Holy. See, there you go.
Man.
See?
You know, she's got to go. Kathy Darling must go.
We have to have a forensic audit, like I've been barking about for years, a forensic audit, and we started in that department. We have a forensic audit starting in January. The board votes on it, and they get it moving forward. Start a forensic audit in the elections department.
Yeah.
That will save us so much money, time, effort, and energy. And if they can prove that everything was done right, hats off to them. If they prove there's any hinky business, hats off to them. I don't care what it does, but it's got to settle down here, because people are irritated on both sides, I'm assuming, but I know so more on the side that I stand on. We're really irritated with what's going on and the perception of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, go ahead.
I'm sorry, there's a slight delay with my cell phone. And to be fair, let's go ahead and audit the moldy recall, right? Let's go ahead and just check that too, even though, you know, let's go ahead and do that. I definitely want to audit those petitions, because I'm pretty sure we got more than 167 signature gap on Mr. Modi. I think that was hinky. Anyways,
yeah.
let's do everything that she's got records for.
Absolutely.
At all.
Yep.
And did you guys want to go over the whole permit closing the alleyway on November 8th?
Yeah, go ahead. If you could do it in a couple of minutes, that'd be great. Go ahead, buddy.
No, absolutely.
Go for it.
November 8th, election night, I went to the alleyway behind the registrar's office, as I did in the June primary, and I was there after 8 p.m. I probably got there about 8:30. And the barricades, private security, right? They're like, I'm like, what's going on here? They're like, the alleyway's closed. The private security says the alleyway's closed. I said, no, it's a public alleyway, and I'm going to go in it. And he said, sir, you cannot. It's closed. I said, you don't get to tell me if I can be in a public alleyway or not. Sorry. So I went through the barricade, and he put his arm up, and I just walked around him, and he's like, sir, if you don't leave, I'm calling the cops. I said, you go ahead and call the cops. Trust me, I will educate them when they get here, because I'm not afraid of the police, because I'm exercising my rights. So he called the police, and the police show up, and the police tell me, well, they have a permit to close the alleyway. I'm like, well, it would have been nice if the private security guard would have told me they had a permit, because then I probably would have came back to the other side of the barricade. And I told the officer, I said, I'll tell you what, officer, I don't have the permit here. Nobody's showing me the permit, but I'll take your word for it that they have a permit. And I went, and then I went to the other side of the barricades. Well, I did a record jack request. I'm kind of known for that.
Another one?
Another one. I have the permit now in hand. I think I sent it to you guys. And then long story short, this is nothing but this permit was issued in a very lazy, lackadaisical, without dotting I's, crossing T's, and it's just lazy. And the permit, the very first page of the permit, here is your dates and times approved for this permit issued. And on election day, that permit was only valid from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And by the way, she asked for the front promenade to be used, and she asked for the rear alley to be blocked. But the permit never specifically granted her to block the rear alleyway. And then the fire chief signs off, the police chief signs off, Parks and Rec, all those guys signed off on this permit. None of them put in any additional restrictions or additions, whatever. So by 8:30 p.m., that permit was expired. And more than likely, when the cops showed up, it was probably closer to 9 p.m. And, of course, the cops, they're not going to see the permit. They're just told by their sergeant, hey, tell them there's a permit on file and to get out of the barricades, which I did, of course. So it's just government laziness doing this paperwork. So they violated my rights, and I have the documents to prove they violated my rights. Because after 8:30, that alleyway was now again open to the public.
Wow. You know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, a lot of people talk about the conservative shows that we have here on KCNR on Sunday mornings. I know that Carl even made a comment. He was upset about that 85,000 in Chester Lake City having a having to being asked to pay for it. And he was right about that, of course. And again, yeah, Carl, that's another day you can put on your calendar where I said you were right. That's twice. But the other thing is that as we look at all this, other radio programs on other radio stations, which I think you were a guest on, also were just outraged over the fact that that this letter was written, outraged over the government overreach of Kathy Darling Allen. So it isn't just a few select people. Believe me, when this letter came out, there are people on radio stations in a lot of places that are going to be talking about this, that already have talked about it. In fact, we're not breaking this thing right here. Rich, you broke it, and there was another radio program that talked about it before we ever did. And it was surprising because the host is probably, well, he's probably a little mellower than we are, but he was outraged, and rightly so, and kudos to him.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. More fodder, more, right? Every day's a new adventure around here.
I'm just tired of the corruption, and I'm tired of these people being in office that are so corrupt. And to do this kind of thing, and the corruption where Kathy Darling Allen is that she basically is using her bully pulpit to restrict the rights of God-fearing, conservative, heck, Americans, period. When she writes a letter like this, virtually, with which many people would have the opinion of, is lies, weaponizing, hasn't done anything physical yet, talking about these people bullying. I mean, give me a break. You know, this is just outrageous. These flyers are outrageous, what she did to Shasta Lake City. How much more, Shasta County, are we going to take from her? How much more are we going to take from her? She needs to go. Richard, do you know the mechanism in getting rid of a county clerk? Do you know the mechanism of that, sir?
Well, there's more than one political and legal way to oust a public employee, but people are getting, I know that we're almost out of time, so I'll go quick. People are inquiring to me about possibly recalling her. Now, she will quit before the actual election of her own recall occurs. The law allows her to quit before, and then the recall does not actually happen, no voting. But I think that would be a powerful political statement, because, right, we're the tip of the spear here.
Yep.
And it will make national news, in fact, international news, that we, because we'll gather enough signatures, I have zero doubt. Just the fact that we would have gathered enough signatures to then petition and get and the County Board of Supervisors would be the one to set the election date. Not Kathy, obviously, because the law says, nope, you don't get to do that. So the board will set the election date for her recall. And we'll never get to the recall because she'll quit, but that would make a very powerful political statement.
Can we fire her?
And the thing is, if we do it before June, guess what?
Yeah.
We save some money.
That's right. Lots of money.
Yeah, so that's being discussed right now, so we'll see where that goes.
Okay, well, God bless those people that are working on that.
All right. Rich Gallardo, thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
You know, if you're having another cup of coffee or something, you may want to call into Sovereign Minds. I have a feeling I saw Mark Kent just walk in, and he's got that... I'm pissed off, look.
Thanks, guys. I'll get out of here.
Thank
all
you.
Right, brother.
Bye, Rich. Hey, I want to read this paragraph real
go
quick.
For it.
This guy kind of got something to go, and we're getting close here. It says, in order to accommodate the larger and more intrusive observers, we now limit the election the hours of 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., which allows staff to check email, prepare for the day, and to begin ballot processing. It also allows the management team time to check in with staff and take care of administrative tasks. Not surprisingly, it also reduces the number of hours we can spend daily processing ballots and completing canvas tasks. So elections we would have previously been able to canvass in 2 weeks are now taking a minimum of 3, with costs borne by the taxpayer, as longer hours for staff means more expensive election. Boy, is she planting seeds for needing more money for the election all the way through this thing, and other ways to cheat by stretching it out, taking 2 weeks, now it's going to take 3. And then she even clearly states in here, in California, election officials have 30 days to canvass the election, which includes performing post-election audits and certifying the results of local governing boards and the Secretary of State's office. And then what she's doing, she's ensuring she can take every minute of those 30 days to do what she needs to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
All right.
She needs to go.
Yep.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh, man, unbelievable.
Man, I really wanted to break down
the
whole
thing. And then she's talking about how things have gotten more aggressive in the last few years.
Yeah.
Last few years, really, Kathy? Seems to me like it's just been these last couple of elections that the light has really started to shine on you.
That's because people are paying attention.
That's right. So with that, looks like we've come to the end of our show.
We have.
We will not be doing our show next week, but Liam, I'd like you to go ahead and play this show next week.
There you go.
We're going to play it again, folks. So if you missed it this time and you don't go to the archive, you can hear it again.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR.